Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to 94 and More, presented by Bristol Studio. While a basketball court might be 94 feet, we believe it's limiting to solely look at this beautiful game as a sport. In our minds, it's closer to an art form, even a tool through which we can study the world and learn about ourselves. I'm your host, Jake Fenster, and on this podcast, we will explore the game of basketball, not only as a sport, but as a dynamic force that influences culture, builds bridges, and has the ability to shape our national conversation. Hope you enjoy. As always, feel free to reach out to us at 94@bristol-studio.com and follow us on Instagram at Bristol Studio and at 94 and More Podcast. All right, let's get into the show. So today I'm here with Vic. Vic, how you doing?
What's up, Jake? It's good to be back.
It is. How's everything been on your end?
Oh, it's been good, man. It's actually been a crazy month, to be honest. It's been kind of hectic, but you know, I'm happy to be here in Tasmania. We have the NBL Blitz starting tomorrow, actually.
Tasmania.
We play on Tuesday, 16th. No, 16th in Australia, in Tasmania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have never told you when I was young, or even last year when I was in LA, that I would be in Tasmania. So you know, I'm happy to be here. It's exciting. The landscape here is crazy, by the way. Like,
I'm sure.
Super hilly.
If only I could see it. I'm just looking at your ceiling.
Well, here, I'll show you.
Yeah, show me. Show the people. I'll describe it to the people.
Yeah. You can narrate it.
I've seen a lot of white walls and gray curtains.
Yeah, no, you'll see the whole bay and everything.
Let's see it. Okay, a little water, nice little lake. Everybody's
well,
on
it's
the
an
lake.
Island. It's an island. It's the ocean.
Oh, it's the ocean. That's nice.
I think
very
so.
Hilly. This is beautiful. I recommend.
Yeah, it's
I
just always Tasmania. You do. It's just always gloomy, but it's like
a little
super
gloomy.
Like nice.
It is a little gloomy.
It's gloomy and cold. It's like 50 degrees Fahrenheit here.
Are you? Yeah, I was going to say. I expected, I guess, yeah, it's a little chilly. It's a little chilly.
Well, it's real south. Normal. It's like it's an island south of Australia, but it's a part of Australia. It's just, you know, not connected to the mainland, but it's super cold here. It snows here.
It snows there? God.
Yeah, like, I'll tell you right now. Like, nah, bro, it doesn't really snow in Australia other than like some parts of Melbourne, kind of. I guess Adelaide, kind of, but it's really Tasmania snow. New Zealand gets some snow, I think, but it is here, it's 51 degrees and it's raining Fahrenheit in the summer in Tasmania.
Well, we're getting off topic a little bit, but you're not playing on Tuesday though. You're not ready.
No, I'm in. I'm in.
You're
no, I'm in. Baby.
Oh,
you're in. Yeah, I'm full go now.
Oh, you're back.
I've been full go the last 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's big news.
Yeah, I'm ready to chug on along. I'm in.
Are you excited?
Yeah, dude. Like I said, it's been a real trying month, right? Like, so I got to Perth, I got out of quarantine, and you know, like Mike said, what they do is they take you through a ton of medical stuff at the gate to make sure you're healthy, you know.
Yeah.
If they're gonna waive you or keep you or not, you know, all this different stuff just to make sure, like at the end of the day, like you're cleared to play, like you're healthy. You're not a risk that they're taking, you know, and investing all the money. So when I got in, you know, I just coming off the ankle surgery, which we've talked about in the pod, torn peroneal tendon, which stabilized your foot on the outside of your foot. I tore it in Brisbane last season, had surgery, played in summer league, felt fine. Got to Perth, like, let's do an MRI just to make sure everything's all right. And let's, you know, let's just go from there. So I'm like, yeah, you know, that's perfectly fine with me. That seems pretty standard, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it comes back and it says that I have like a bruise basically along the scar of my, you know, surgical scar. And I think it's the exact spot where like my bone spur got burned down. And then the doctor's like, you know, at this point in your recovery phase, it should have healed a little bit more. Yeah. So we're going to need to like rest you a little bit. Cause you know, you don't want this to like get worse or like deepen or anything. Yeah. So I'm like, cool. So for about 3 weeks there, I couldn't really do any team activity stuff. I could only do real light, basic workouts on the side. And from a mental standpoint for me, you know, like coming to Perth, like, especially after being in quarantine for 2 weeks, I was just ready to finally play again. Like I didn't want to be held out. I didn't want to sit down again. I was tired of the whole rehabilitation stage of surgery, right? Like I was ready. Like we were in the 5 months out now, 6 months out. And I was just ready to like get back doing stuff. But you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, Perth had to do, you know, what's best. Mm-hmm. It had to be smart about like not trying to push me too hard from the get go. So the first 3 weeks, it was just really mentally tough to keep staying positive, keep staying engaged while I was just off to the side doing these real, like, just, you know, catch and shoot stuff, right? Like nothing serious. And then we would end early and I would just have to watch the team practicing and doing stuff. I'm like, man, let the boy off the leash, right? Like, let me get out there.
Yeah.
Like in my head, I'm fine. But, you know, obviously in a medical opinion, like you got to give him a week or two to let him settle down. Yeah.
But that's exciting. So Tuesday, the big debut.
Tuesday, I'm out. Well, it's still pre, you know, this is preseason, but yeah. I'm in preseason. There, finally.
That's exciting, man. Are you, have you been playing it over in your head? Are you like dreaming about it already?
Playing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was in summer league. I snuck out there, you know, for a couple games.
That was a while ago. That was a while ago.
No, but no, I haven't. We've been scrimmaging as a team. We got reps in. We've been playing. So, you know, I've gotten to integrate with the team pretty well and play with them and get like a good taste of like Perth basketball and all that tradition and and whatnot. We just went to the season launch the other day.
You have a lot of American imports on that team.
We only got three. Right?
Three? That's it? Three. Actually, every team, what?
Every team gets three.
Oh, that's I didn't even know it was. I didn't know it was max.
Wait a minute now, Jake. You're saying we got more than what's supposed to. You're gonna have teams flagging us down.
Let me backtrack. They only have three.
Mike's the third.
Mike's the third. Oh, I thought you already. For some reason, I thought you already had three, and adding Mike, thought it was a four.
What are you counting me as an Aussie? So what's going on?
I don't know. I'm not.
We got another.
I'm scattered brained right now.
Complex Con did
something to me. ComplexCon took something from me.
Okay, so wait. I'm glad you said that. So, you know, we kind of caught up about my end. Talk us through Bristol Studio on ComplexCon this week, past weekend.
I'm going to spare everyone listening the real details of what I went through in that weekend.
No, we got to hear everything, man. Down at Long Beach, we can't hear
because I don't want anyone to get upset. But
you're going to treat them like it's just like glitz and glam ComplexCon, like it doesn't take hard work to set it up.
No, it takes hard work. But let me tell you, there's something else that happens sometimes when it has nothing to do with hard work. It has something to do with everything going wrong before you can even do the hard work. Everything and anything went wrong leading up
for your
to
booth
the actual show.
Just
every inch at the booth, build out to like vendors to the space, like the convention center having issues to the free, like just... I was tested and pushed to a whole different place. And I'm just happy that I was able to rally myself mentally and
keep it going,
push through and have a very successful show. And I'm very appreciative of all of the family members, the Bristol team members that helped make it possible. But it took a toll on my body and my mind for sure. Right.
We've got young fashion people who are listening to the pod who actually listen. So can you talk us through like logistically, like from a fashion person's perspective, what goes into getting a booth at ComplexCon and like what actually like goes into like setting it up and doing all that?
All right, let's think. So it starts with relationships. So it starts with first like getting to know people in that space, basically the people who are responsible for booking the show. Which
is that Complex?
ComplexCon. No, it's separate from Complex. People we've just gotten to know from, you know, working with them in other arenas when they worked maybe at other companies and they moved and just developing those relationships over time. Basically, then once you decide to do the show, you figure out what size booth you're going to do. The price varies. It also depends on partnerships or exclusive releases. Like there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into choosing the actual booth and negotiating those terms. But once that's all kind of straightened out, they reach out to you on a pretty consistent basis, you know, about content they need to promote for the show, you know, logo files, making sure that like the booth, you know, the name is spelled the right way, all things like that, that people just take for granted that like, you know, you got to check in on those little things. So basically once you sign the contracts and everything's squared away, then it comes down to the show time. You make sure that you have all the people working your booth, that they have access, that you can pick up the tickets to make sure everybody can get in okay. And then what we do is we get there like a day early we take a day to just really like get the lay of the land. So we go early to say, all right, this is where you enter. This is, you know, we have your ticket. So we'll meet you at 7 a.m. outside. You park here. You come to this point, you know, just kind of giving them the lay of the land. So
yeah, you have a practice run.
Anybody working, you know, on Friday doesn't have to start from, you know, ground zero. They start from a different level and we can already get the ground running. But yeah, so we take a day for that. And then, you know, we took Friday as a full build out day. And so we were there from 7 a.m. till 11:30. You know, again, dealing with any kind of issue you can imagine, you know, just everything. It's a big show. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts. So you have to stay on top of it. You have to make sure no one's going to just look out for you, you know, because there's just too much. So you have to make sure that you hold people accountable. If you need electricity, you make sure that the electricity is going to be put in appropriately, or you make sure that, you know, your sign is correct. And if it's not, you had to go find the right people to adjust it. Things like that, just logistical things before you even really start building out your space. But also we had designed our space based on the specs that we had decided on. And so once all of those things were straightened out, it came down to just, you know, the people we had hired, getting them into the venue to put the vinyls on the walls. We moved our Papa Shot in. So the little mini arcade basketball machine. We set that up ourselves, you know, bringing the clothes, getting the clothing rack made, getting the containers there to hold the inventory, just all those things, making sure it's set up. So that way, when you get there on Saturday, maybe you're doing last minute touches. Maybe you're
everything
looks good, but you're not setting up show day. So then it goes to, you know, Saturday and Sunday are transaction focused and you're meeting people and building new relationships. Spreading awareness about your brand. And then Sunday night is takedown. So we were there from, Masai and I were there from 7 a.m., my partner Masai, from 7 a.m. till I got home at 2 a.m. And that was on Masai's birthday as well. So, you know, it's the not so pretty side of things, but it's the necessary part of it. It's the, you know, as we grow and start building out a team, it's going to change, but you know, being a small team and being a smaller brand, those are the sacrifices you have to make. And for a show like ComplexCon, that's what goes into it. I didn't even really like walk to other people's booths. I barely ate food. I had, you know, I was on coffee and snacks here and there. And you know, I'm running around carrying heavy shit, moving, you know, just flying around and it's a blur. And before you know it, it's over and you're
on. You sound like Alan in the 70s.
I mean, it's a blur, man. It really is. Some people are enjoying the show. Some people are walking around. Some people are waiting in hour-long lines for food. And I was at the booth, you know? So it's fun. It is exciting. And it's great to meet new people and people that have passion about what you're doing. And obviously, sales are great. But it's just the, you know, there's multiple sides of it. There is the tough part. And there is the real part. And then there's the part of it that makes it all worth it and gives you the energy to keep doing those types of things.
So let's, so we talked about, we needed all that. So it's actually cool to say, cause so people talk to me, right? Like I'm one of the bigger Bristol studio, like
promoters.
I love talking about Bristol. Bristol's a big deal. I love talking about Bristol, like hearing the guys out. And and I feel like a lot of people in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. And this would be other places that I don't just want to stereotype to Chicago, but I know a lot of young kids growing up, right?
Yeah.
And it's very easy, and I don't mean easy in the sense that it's easy to start, right? Because as you just said, going into fashion and actually trying to build the brand, doing stuff like ComplexCon, making those connections, building good product, selling the product, like getting the word out, is very difficult.
Right?
But deciding that you don't want to work in corporate America and that you just want to do fashion is very easy. Like making that decision that you're like, nah, you know, I kind of like clothes and shoes. So I'm going to do fashion is easy. Like that's an easy thing to do for some people. And I've met a lot of people in Chicago and even a lot of like, you know, younger friends, cousins, like whatever. They're just like, I'm going to be like a fashion designer, right? Like I'm going to make t-shirts. Like I'm going to do all this. But like, I think what they don't understand is that shit's hard. Like it's not just like some something that you can just be like, nah, you know what? I'm going to make a couple t-shirts. I'm going to blow up. Yeah. I'll be the next Bristol studio. I'll be the next Christian Dior. Like I'm going to be the next big thing, right? Because there are so many people now who are trying to do that, right? Like that space is getting very, very, you know, crowded, right? And yeah. I feel like it's good that you said that, because people hopefully who listen can understand like this, you know, if you're going to do it, like you have to commit yourself to want to do it. Yeah. Right. It's a long day, long nights.
You got to be passionate about what you're doing. And I think the thing that we're doing is we have a niche that we believe in, and mm-hmm. it's really just telling our story in a way that we haven't seen another brand approach basketball right. the way that we are, and you know, the way that we feel about it. So it's really just like doubling down, tripling down on that. And
right.
Like you said, it's not easy, but what makes it easy is understanding that, this isn't going to happen overnight. A lot of people mm-hmm. want to get into these fields because there's a lot of hype and clout. I hate that yeah. word, but that's like what people want. That's what people want right now. People yeah. want to have a blue check.
Right.
They want to feel like, you know, they're hanging out with celebrities, they're doing cool things, they're going to the
they want to feel
shows.
Important.
Like they want to feel important. Yeah. But if that's what you're rooted in, if that's the point, then it's not really about building a fashion brand. It's not really about building a clothing right. business. And for us, what we really boil it down, and we really have the long conversations where we're yelling at each other passionately because we're arguing over something we believe in. And it's all out of love, but it goes to those places. At the end of the day, we know what we want. And what we want is to build something that outlives all of us and creates opportunity. Yeah. And it's something that excites us and we believe in it. So it's not hard for us to do. Yes, it's hard. There are hard days and hard nights and hard moments, but it's a lot easier because we're living something that we believe in rather than mm-hmm. doing something that we don't enjoy or we're faking because we right. just want to be famous or, you know, have pictures with celebrities. Like that's not why we're in this. It's never been why we're in this. So those long nights are not a surprise to us. Like we welcome yep. those long nights. Like, yes, one day we won't be doing that. But we understand that the beauty is in the journey more than, you know, the end goal. Like it'll be great to look back and see what we've built one day, but also I know for a fact we're going to miss, you know, going in and out after an 18-hour day and right. yeah. dead tired. And we're all just looking at each other. Like, how did we do it again? You know, those moments
yeah.
That no one can take away from you, that you'll always have with those people that, you know, you feel close to and trust and love. Like that is really what it's all about, and finding fulfillment
right.
In what you do. And that makes it a lot easier. But like you said, a lot of people are looking to do these things and get into this space. But I think a lot of people don't last because they do it for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. No, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think this is all knowledge. I'm glad you're hitting the younger generation, giving them the knowledge about
the young,
you know,
folks.
What it takes, and like doing it with the people that you love and that you enjoy doing this with, man. Because it is yeah. true. But let's we got to bang out the quick hitters now. I know yeah. you don't. It's not all about
yeah.
the who's coming and all that. But we got to bang out the quick hitters now. So, rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
You know, you can give long answers. You can give short ones, man.
I'll keep them short.
Just got to knock these out. Okay. ComplexCon. What outside of Bristol Studio? What were some of your favorite booths? Like, kind of the aesthetic of them, their product, or something that you thought were cool.
Didn't see any.
Okay. Didn't see any.
But literally like walked by them, like didn't like fully engage. I mean, we had some, you know, some yeah. friends who had booths, like Kids of Immigrants had a booth. Our friend Mamadou mm-hmm. Sesbon had a booth. The okay. NBA booth was next to us. So I saw their booth. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, like I literally did not get a chance to really like walk around and enjoy it. I saw setup and takedown.
Okay. What were some of the items you guys had at ComplexCon that you were selling, or that might've been ComplexCon exclusives?
Yeah, so we had like pretty much everything from our signature collection. So triple hem shorts, Jake cargo pants, socks, like our double hem socks, signature socks. But the exclusive products were our like Lakers colorways of the triple hem mashup shorts. We had a Minneapolis like Lakers colorway, and then a, you know, kind of more current Lakers colorway.
Yep.
Two versions of our NBA socks, an ankle and like a regular length one. The OG super thick white socks, just with like a Bristol Studio NBA embroidered logo. And then we had a basket.
Folks, you got the yeah. super thick ones are back.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got to go to bristolstudio.com right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they're back.
Please continue. Well, I just
they're go back. And search this. They're back. But then we also released an official game ball that we made kind of to mirror the Wilson basketball. And
yep.
Rashad, who's our other partner, and the commissioner mm-hmm. of our Bristol run, we put his signature on the basketball, which actually was really cool. So that's dope. Like That's
like,
a very,
like
where very,
like the Adam Silver, yeah, or yeah, like Adam Silver
yeah,
thing would be.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. That's a very, very limited piece. Like, I think we only have like, I don't even know. We barely have any of those. That was just like a concept that we just wanted to get it done, just so we could have it.
Do for, you,
like,
will you brand. Actually, will you use that basketball for the Bristol run? Would that be like the official game ball?
It's coming. Yeah, oh, it's coming back. It's coming back. The run's coming back.
When's it going to start again? Just for anybody listening.
We have a gym. Up? We have a gym starting next week.
Oh, dope. Okay. Three more questions.
Three more. All right, go.
What was the most bought item?
Ooh, most bought item.
What was the most popular item at a ComplexCon for you guys?
The triple hem shorts and the double hem socks. So I need like those pieces that really told the story about like stacking, you know, stacking your socks, your shirts, or just layering.
Yeah.
People were obsessed with those. Those definitely were a big hit. People who never seen our product or had seen it online, when they saw the shorts on the rack, that really pulled
them. They loved
in.
Them. Give me some popular names. Give me some celebs that stopped by or that came into the booth.
You want me to name drop right now?
Yeah, of course I want you to name drop. We got to have it. I know you won't do it, so I got to ask you.
I will do two names because these are people that we've interacted with many times and on social media, we posted about them or had interactions with them. Because I hate doing this, but so Iggy P was there, and so we had famously had a challenge at the studio. He came by once, and we played Papa Shot, and he couldn't beat my score, and he was in my ear like yelling at me, trying to make me miss. So he stopped by, and I was like, "Let's go!" Like, I challenged him again, and he almost got me. He was in my ear chirping, and I almost smoked it, and I pulled through, and I beat him again. Which was
Clutch Gene coming in.
Yeah, and then Bobby Hundreds, who's actually been someone that's been kind of a mentor. He started the brand The Hundreds. He's been somebody that's been kind of a mentor for us. He stopped by, and it was just kind of a cool moment just to share, like, the growth. And we hadn't seen him in a while, so to just have that moment where he looked at where we've gotten to.
And
it was more about just reflecting. And for me, it was a cool moment just to think about, you know, how much has changed and how much growth there has been. So those are the only two.
Did he have a booth there?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Okay. Kind of alluded to it. Nah, I mean, we needed it. We needed it. Come on now. That name dropped some people. You didn't want to say Bad Girl Riri was there, but you know.
I didn't even see her. They were in a whole different part of the.
If she walked by, she was at the Bristol booth.
Let me tell you something. I was as a Bristol while that was happening. I was carrying the Papa Shot, like, I don't even know how, like a mile from the docks to a parking lot with help. Like, it was not pretty while everyone's standing up screaming about Rihanna getting into an SUV. So like, there was no moment for me to interact with her. I'll tell you that much.
You were back in the side like a packing mule trying to get the stuff.
Literally the only part where we would have interacted was as they're pulling out, they happened to drive right by us carrying our shit to the U-Haul. So, that's the only way me and Bad Girl Riri were coming face to face. Maybe she ran, you know, ran into us or something.
Okay. Final question of our rapid fire. You kind of touched on it. Did anyone beat your score or my score? I don't know if we tied. We're going to say we tied. So did anyone beat our score?
Probably. I'll say this. I did one attempt to start the day. I got 28 in 30 seconds. Okay. That's all we did, 30 seconds. A little kid, maybe 12, was at our booth for maybe 3 hours, getting in line. There was a line the whole time. So this kid was waiting in line, shooting.
It's a humble brag, folks.
He got 30. No, well, I'm saying it's not about me. It's about the dedication.
A three-hour time.
He was there. I'm talking about dedication and love of the game. This kid would,
he's grinding.
He wouldn't beat 30. He would get back in line. Go again, get back in line, go again for like 3 hours. And he hit 30. So he won a big basketball. And I was very impressed. Man,
come on, give him some signed Jake Spencer triple hem shorts or something.
He got a 3 hours. He got a ball. He got a big basketball. We weren't giving those away. Yeah. He got a black one. But we weren't giving those away. So I told him if he hit 30, he could have it. Everyone else was winning the mini basketballs, but he, you know.
Okay. He showed some respect.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
All right, guys. You guys heard about ComplexCon Long Beach. I'm actually happy that, I wasn't there this time because I feel like I would have spent my whole check. But
you would have been in trouble. You would have been in trouble. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I know. I would have spent all my money.
All of it. Gone. All of it.
All right, are you ready? Are you ready to get into the NFL?
Do we have to? I'm down to get into the NFL, but not fantasy. Because fantasy, ever since we spoke, actually, maybe I can reverse my luck. Because last time we spoke about fantasy, I think I was bragging. And since then, I've lost every game.
Derrick Henry's hurt now.
Straight. Well, Derrick Henry's hurt.
Yeah.
Calvin really said, I'm done with football. Kyler Murray's hurt.
He did.
What else? I think my top four picks are all just like not playing in the NFL right now.
What else?
So, and everyone in the league is scoring their most points against me. So at this point, it's just not my year.
You started off so hot too. You were such a strong point total.
Bro, Calvin really just sat down. Calvin said, Matt Ryan has ruined the game of football for me. I need to.
You're lying. No, he didn't.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, it's not fun for him anymore.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we know.
His mental health has declined, and he's taking space. Yeah. But, you know, he's still in his prime.
Oh, man.
So it hurts.
Well, since we're talking about fantasy football, I'm going to go ahead and talk about mine. And I don't know if I want to give you a chance to give me some advice, but five straight doesn't look like the perfect GM to give you advice. Nothing. Okay, so anyway, to the people listening, I drafted Odell back.
And now he's a Ram.
Seventh round, man. Right? Thinking like, Odell's breaking out this year. This is going to be the year. Excuse me. He breaks out. I know it. I play him every game this season, right? He's in every game. He's not doing nothing, right? Because him and Baker can't find a connection. Fine. I've got Emmanuel Sanders and, early on in the season, Cordero Patterson sitting on a bench shining. I finally put Cordero out there, right? We're doing good. My team is 6-3. So we're right in the hunt for a prime playoff spot. This week, you know, as everyone knows, we're all following the news and media. Odell is free, right? Odell gets free. Also, shout out Britney Spears. She won her conservatorship. Case, she's free too. Two big names.
What is our podcast?
I'm just saying, shout out my girl Brittany. I'm just throwing.
No, I mean, I'm not mad at you.
She's free.
I'm not mad at you. We've just taken a couple turns.
Here's my week. I got Josh Allen at quarterback. Aaron Jones at running back is my first pick. I got to play him. Cordero Patterson is my second running back. Tyler Lockett, because he had a big week last week, and Russell Wilson's finally back. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Sanders at my second wide receiver, and this is where the question comes in. Darren Waller, tight end. Darrell Williams, flex, because he's, you know, I feel like Kansas City's going to keep giving him the ball. Browns defense, and then Matt Gay at kicker. And here's my question.
Yeah.
Do I start Emmanuel Sanders, or is this the week OBJ finally bounces back?
Is he's playing Sunday?
He is playing. He's playing. It's Monday. He played Monday against San Francisco.
Oh, he's playing Monday? Okay. My gut.
And it's an early game in San Fran.
So bad.
12-15.
My gut is you play OBJ because he's probably been waiting for this moment, and he's going to be
– he's going to break out.
He's going to have something extra in his step, and he's going to be excited. And Stafford's going to find him on like a 70-yard touchdown, and it's just going to be magical.
You think so?
That might be the biased Rams fans speaking.
Is San Francisco totally good this year?
Not
3-5. They're not great. You know what? Forget it. I'm playing them.
That's exciting. That's more exciting than playing Emmanuel Sanders. Like, you get to watch Monday Night Football. OBJ's in. You have a reason to root for him. Like,
oh,
you know.
My goodness. His projection just went down again. So I loaded it earlier today. He's projected 7. Emmanuel Sanders is projected 13. Ooh. Now they got OBJ projected at 4.
That's hurt.
I don't think he's going to do anything.
All right, so you plan because he's probably seeing that. He's probably paying attention.
Our ESPN boards are saying he's going to get 2 targets. 1 catch for 20 yards. 0.1 chance to get a touchdown. And you're telling me.
I think you play him.
Here's the video we're looking at. Why OBJ is going to a fantasy-friendly offense with the Rams. Another video. Play Odell this week.
I say you play him. Play him.
I want to play him too. I'm just saying I got to win this week because I got 4 guys in my division that are 6-3.
Who are you playing, me?
No, I'm not playing you. I would beat you if we were playing you. I'd throw him out there before you.
This is – I have a 6-game losing streak for everyone listening, and I have a matchup this week. And right now, the projection, this is how miserable this has been for me. I'm projected to score 99.9. You know what the other person's projected to score, Vic? Can you guess 140?
It? 140, probably 140.
99.6. So not only is it telling me I have a chance, it's telling me I might win by a very slim margin. So now I know I'm going to get crushed. Like, it's just going to hurt even more when I lose this game.
I'm about to look it up. I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up, boys.
And it's 2-7.
Miles Gaskin had 5.5 points. The only thing saving you is Mark Andrews had a great game.
I'm playing someone who's also 2-7. So this is a big week.
Yeah, for me. Kenny Diggs is a real bad team. Yeah. Podgorski. Yeah.
Podgorski. Podgorski. Interesting.
We can't sell Meg out like this. Not on the pod. Podgorski. 2-7. Playing the other worst team in the league. Team Maserati Mitch and Jake Fenster. Both 2-7.
You know what? It was because I named my team Maserati Mitch, because that just means you're going to break
down. You don't have Mitch Trubisky on your team anymore.
No, I traded him after like week two. I was like, this is it. It's a joke. The joke's over.
Yeah, joke's over, and you went on a skid after you traded him.
You're not wrong. You know what? I might pick him up right now. You know, I would pick him up if I had room to pick him up. The problem is I got everyone on IR. You can only have so many players on IR.
Drop Calvin Ridley and drop.
I don't know. What if he comes back next week?
Drop Derrick Henry.
Is he out for the season?
He broke his foot. He's out.
He's out for the season.
And the way it's looking, you won't make the playoffs anyway. So I don't think you'll need him.
Well, you never know.
Actually, no. Actually, keep him, because I don't want to make the playoffs if someone picks up Derrick Henry and he somehow plays.
Hold on. I'm gonna make the playoffs. Well, we're getting off topic again though. So. Is that it? Do you want to just crown my fence?
No. Of course not.
No one wants to listen to my
misery.
Talk about
the Bears and Rams. We were talking about the Bears and Rams. Are the Rams better now that they got Beckham? They just lost, didn't they?
Yeah, they lost the Titans.
They couldn't play any worse, right? That was an ugly game for them.
Bro, I didn't even get to watch it.
16 points. They gave up 28. Stafford had two picks. Henderson, 55 yards. Yeah, it's an ugly game for the Rams.
It was an ugly game for the Rams. But they'll bounce back, I think, this week. And the Rams are in good shape. They're exciting. OBJ adds another exciting component. Now they have Cooper Kupp, OBJ, and Robert Woods, and whoever
Does
else
OBJ
they throw
take
in there.
Over Robert Woods' targets, or is
no,
he going to
no,
just
no,
compliment
no, no, no.
the third guy?
I think compliments. Because how do you stop – if you can't stop Cooper Kupp and you try to stop Cooper Kupp, OBJ gets open or Robert Woods is open. It's going to be
– But you see what you just did there? You said you stop Cooper Kupp, OBJ's open. It already sounds like the fans are starting to lean towards OBJ over Robert Woods already. Oh. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Probably, but Robert Woods on my fantasy team, so I got to root for him.
He must be bad then.
But I do want to say before we wrap this up that the Lakers are back.
No, they're not, Jake. The Lakers aren't back. And don't try to skip over my Bears like we're not going to talk about the Bears.
Well, the Bears had a chance to win, and they smoked it.
Bears are back, baby. I don't care.
How are they back? They lost.
Bears are back, Jake. Let me tell you, we got a stud young quarterback who's making every throw he can. To save this team, you think Mitch
is
making those
throws back
in?
He did look good. He did look good last week. He definitely showed.
He looked great. He's getting better every week.
He is.
You think with 2 minutes left, Mitch is taking us down the field, throwing it off his back foot, going left?
Absolutely not. He's not the guy. Look, the Bears are back.
Let me throw you some stats.
That no one listening cares about, but throw them out. Just why not do it?
Oh my God, no one cares about.
I don't know how many Chicago Bears fans there are that listen to this. I'll tell you that much.
Highest graded quarterback of week 9, Justin Fields, 90.5. Another set, Justin Fields. Prime
you know it's
time
bad
game
when you're doing
the
that.
Quote unquote best defense, right? In the Steelers, who are 4-6, I think. Just Roethlisberger's done. They need to drop the quarterback. But he got 336 total yards, touchdown with under 2 minutes to play. Bears are looking good, man. We got a solid future in this Justin Fields kid. All I'm going to say is all of his passes, 20 yards or more down the field, right on the money. All we got to do, better offensive line, some more playmakers on the outside. Bears are
Super
back.
Bowl. Bears are back.
Bears are back. All I know is Rams are losing the first round of the playoffs. All that money they spent, all the draft picks they gave away is going to be a huge waste.
We'll
see. I'm done ranting.
We'll see. I actually disagree with you. I feel like this is the year that if there was ever a year for a team to kind of buy everybody and then win – It feels like this year. It feels pretty open.
For the Rams?
It feels pretty open right now, honestly.
Let's hope they didn't show too much against Tennessee with no Derrick Henry.
I mean, they're 7-2.
Yeah, the Bears are 3-6.
We're going nowhere.
All right. Let's talk about the Lakers. Go ahead. Say Lakers are back.
Lakers never left.
Give me a reason why. LeBron's not going to play until a couple more weeks.
Yeah. Dude, I just got to talk about – I don't even know what I'm saying about the Lakers. I haven't watched that much, but – I want to talk about the one game I did watch recently because it was probably the funniest game I've ever watched.
They've been in a close game every game this season.
They played the Hornets. Okay. I don't know if anybody listening watched this. I think we're up 10. I think it's in the fourth quarter. And I think there was maybe this is out of sync or out of rhythm, but out of what actually happened, I think there was a delay of game warning. somehow, like, I think there was a foul on LaMelo Ball. So it was two shots. And yep. I think the Lakers, like, did something to delay the game. So it was a technical. Then
Carmelo
got a technical arguing with the ref. And I could overhear him saying, don't yell at me. Like, don't talk to me like that. And then I overheard Russ saying the same shit to the same ref. And he got technical. He got technical. So then LaMelo hit, I think he hit five free throws.
Wait, didn't Frank Vogel get a technical too?
I don't remember. I just remember it went from a 10-point game to five. And I remember being like, what is happening? They're trying to give it away. I also remember Rondo was in the game. Okay. Rondo plays 12 minutes. Rondo has 8 assists. Rondo is setting up AD beautifully. He's finding every open guy ever. And it looks beautiful. Now, I don't know if him and Terry Rozier have beef or bad blood from past games. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you could already kind of see that, like, Rondo doesn't really like him. He was kind of doing, like, little things when he would, like, go down. He, like, kind of walked over him at one point when he, like, went. I forget what happened. I think Rondo fouled him. Then Rondo, like, looked like he was playing the ball, but also looked like he just didn't care if he got ball, and smacked him upside the head and walked away. Like, I don't know what he was thinking. And he got thrown out. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. The whole momentum shifted. Rondo just
was it late in the game?
Dude, I think it was in the first half, honestly. I think it was second quarter or like third quarter, but they were up by double digits. And Rondo just smacked this dude in the head for no reason. And if he was going for the ball, really, like, okay. Terry Rozier moved the ball down and away from Rondo, and Rondo still had full vision of it and just smacked him and didn't show any, like, remorse. When he went down, wasn't like, my bad. Just, like, kind of stood over him and walked away. It was like, what the hell is going on? So I'm watching all of that. Melo has to score, like, 29 points for us to win. This was also the game where he wore a Bristol sweatsuit the game.
So, naturally. Good luck, Charlie. You should keep wearing it. Yeah,
but again, I just was like, I cannot believe, and it went to overtime. I couldn't believe what I watched. It was very entertaining, but for all the wrong reasons.
Lakers are back. Didn't Westbrook hit a game winner that game? Or like a game that sealed it? The shot that sealed it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. But yeah,
Lakers are back.
I'm enjoying it. I just feel like there's something weird is going on. Like, I can't imagine this is the same full roster after the trade deadline.
I can't either. All I'm going to say is this Lakers team is freaking awesome, and I hate and love watching them play. They play really bad basketball.
They do. They really do. They do.
You guys played the Grizzlies, and John Morant missed the free throw to tie it. Like 12 seconds left, it comes off a screen. Kent Bazemore obviously fouls him. I mean, it's not even reviewable. He obviously fouls him.
Yeah.
And gives him a chance to, like, maybe free throws. And time again, the Lakers are, like, making, like, mistakes that this old team shouldn't be making. Like, it's, like, one of their strengths should be, like, IQ and experience.
Yeah.
And they, like you said, they get four technicals in a row to make it a ball game again. And watching this team, I don't know. And then when some of the games they've lost, guys will go in the press conference and be like, you know, we don't have our alpha dog LeBron out there. But, you know, they've lost to the Thunder twice while being up 20 in both games. Yeah, like, I don't know if you need LeBron to win both these games.
You should. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Hey, man, I'm rooting for our boy, Austin Reeves. I'm hoping.
Yeah,
he's killing it. I'm glad he's carved out a niche on the team.
Yeah, no, he's doing his thing, man. He plays hard. He definitely plays hard. And he's in there at crunch time, so shows that they believe in him. All right, man. Well, appreciate you taking the time to do this. Good luck on Tuesday, and we'll link up soon. We'll catch up soon.
Yeah, we got to chop it up all the time, man.
I know. All right, man. Good luck. Talk to you soon.
All right, go Bears. Bear down.
Go Bears. This podcast is presented by Bristol Studio. Sound editing by Rashad Allen. Music by James Grissom.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.